9 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here to serve you as long as there's not any heavy lifting. And so far, so good. I've got Dr. Linda Mintel on the line. She is not at her work office today. She's stuck at home in a gigantic snowstorm. Linda, how does it feel to be stuck in a snowstorm?
Hey, I'm having flashbacks from living in Chicago.
I bet you are.
I think it's a PTSD syndrome. Oh. I don't know what's going on here. No, it's great. It's been actually, I mean, with my Midwestern roots, I grew up in Michigan. I lived in Chicago for a number of years. As soon as the snow started falling, we have our snow shovels from our past places of living. We got out. We started digging out immediately, and mm-hmm. It kept coming. That was the thing. So. And then it drifted the one of the days. So we had quite the dig out to do. But, you know, I got all the gear. I got the snow, the gloves and the hats and the whole thing. So it's been actually kind of fun because I've gotten a ton of work done at home. And but, you know, the rest of the world out there isn't really equipped with the right equipment to get us out and get us fully moving this morning. Mm-hmm. So can't quite get to the university yet.
Yeah. How many inches did you get where you are?
You know, I think we got, now people could exaggerate this. I mean, we've got mounds. You know how it is when you
just
shovel
mounds,
the snow
right.
and everything. Yeah, mounds of snow. But I would say we got 12 to 15 inches where I am, which is doesn't sound like a lot for the Minnesotans who are listening.
That's a lot.
But it is a lot, actually. You look out and it looks like a typical normal day in the Midwest. But for people in Virginia, where we aren't equipped with the amount of snow plows and shovels and stuff for the roads and stuff, it just literally shuts everything down. Mm-hmm. Now, our neighbors a little bit north of us, I know my daughter has a friend at Johns Hopkins, and they got 30 inches in that area, so they got a lot more than we did. But we still got 20 mm-hmm. to shut it all down. Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's talk this morning a little bit about relationships that can become abusive. Now, I'm thinking about a lot of couples that got stuck in their homes all weekend in your neck of the woods.
I mean, there's
a chance for things to heat up a little bit, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, that alone is going to create maybe additional issues, right?
Yeah, if you've got tension in your house and there's a lot of conflict and you don't get along too well and you're stuck in your house for 3 days like we all have been, those close quarters with not a lot to do and people getting a little cabin fevered and wondering, you know, how they're going to get some of that energy out, it can set up that kind of scenario. The thing is, Bill, that there really are signs in a relationship that we need to be looking out for. And a lot of times what happens is people get in a relationship and they sort of see those signs. They think, oh, you know, yeah, his temper is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit flaring at times, or yeah, I don't quite like the way he talks to me, or ooh, that feels disrespectful. But when we're starting to have feelings for someone and we're maybe falling in love, or we really want that relationship to work, what we tend to do is minimize mm-hmm. those things. And then those red flags, as we call them, when we look back at those, you know, we're waving in the air, but we really didn't grab on and stop them and look at them and address them. So mm-hmm. that's part of what we want to do this morning, is help people look for those red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a relationship, I mean, and you're committed already, then you need to get some help from a Christian counselor or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, this is the time to say, whoa, maybe this isn't the person for me.
Mm-hmm. So we need to start looking for signs, and we have to make sure we're not fooling ourselves, because you talk about a mild temper, and if he just put if a guy just put his fist through drywall, that's not mild temper.
Well, and what happens, again, you know, watch the person, because a lot of times it'll start off with much more mild forms. Like it might start off with kind of an argument, and then maybe yelling more at you, and then maybe, you know, hitting the table hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, it escalates to that fist going through the door. So one of the things that is really important for people to understand is that if you already have those kind of anger and temper problems, they don't get better in a relationship. They tend to get worse because, you know, while relationships are wonderful and great, and we all want them, and we all want to be loved, and we want to have intimacy with somebody, you know, relationships are also very stressful, and they bring out conflict in people. And if you don't have good conflict skills, which is, you know, why I wrote that book, We Need to Talk, because I really want people to understand how to deal with conflict. Because if you can minimize conflict, and you can keep conflict from escalating from mild to severe, then these kinds of issues with abuse will not happen.
Mm-hmm. So obviously the threat of any kind of physical danger is obviously the most common red flag that has to be addressed instantly. What are some more subtle things? What about when the person wants to check your computer or look at your cell phone without your permission?
Yeah, that's a boundary violation. And right there, you've got to start thinking, why are they so intensely interested in every single communication that I'm putting out that's personal? And when you think about that, it usually has a root of jealousy behind it, mm-hmm. or mistrust, or, I'm going to stay on top of it because I desperately need to control you. So that one right there, red flag, if you've got somebody who's constantly checking, wants to know who you're talking to all the time, it usually means that they don't trust you, mm-hmm. and that they're a little bit paranoid, maybe a little bit suspicious of what you're gonna do. So that's a big one. That's mm-hmm. a good red flag to pay attention to.
Yeah. Linda, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to continue about abusive relationships with Dr. Linda Mental. It's 15 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute. Monday morning, 17 minutes after the hour, we're talking to Dr. Linda Mental about relationship abuse, and the things we need to look out for. And it can be subtle, and then it can be less than subtle. And Dr. Mental, when someone has insecurity or jealousy, is that a deep issue that goes way back? And does that person have some own work that they need to do themselves?
Yeah, a lot of times, and I mean, a lot of us have heard that saying, hurt people hurt others. And that's something that a lot of times you hear people say, and that's very true, because if you're a wounded person yourself and you grew up in a home where you were disrespected or you were abused or yelled at or put down or constantly being told that you were worthless or not good enough, all of those things then stay with you. And you develop this incredible sense of insecurity as you're growing up, and maybe mistrust in other people because they haven't been kind to you, never respected you, they haven't shown you unconditional love like we all want to do with our children and families. And so what happens is you carry that into your adult relationships, and you become that type of person who you don't want to be. It's not like people who abuse other people are sitting there going, yeah, this is what I want to do in my relationship, because they realize it doesn't get them where they want to be. In fact, you know, Bill, there is a cycle to abuse that people need to be very familiar with, because it's part of how you recognize it. And that cycle starts off with tension building, like we've been talking about, you know, being confined in the house for a number of days, or maybe having financial stresses at work, or feeling like, you know, family is falling apart and things aren't working well in a relationship. All that stress and all that conflict starts to build up, and then the person starts to then take it out on another person. And that's where the verbal abuse or the psychological abuse or even physical abuse begins to happen. So there's this building of tension. Then there's an incident, and then what happens is then the person feels terrible and then goes, I'm sorry, because they begin to realize, hey, I might be losing this relationship, mm-hmm. or, you know, this is scary to me because the person isn't responding well, and they might walk away. And that's usually the trigger, fears of abandonment or, you know, not having the person around. And so then there's this sort of reconciliation period where the person feels guilty and remorseful, and then the other person goes, okay, they're trying, they really have good intention. And then there's this kind of calm period. It's what they call the honeymoon period in relationships, where the tension isn't so high, but then it begins to build again. And then what happens is the tension builds, there's another incident, then there's this reconciliation attempt, and then the calm. And it just goes on and on until you begin to do something to interrupt that cycle.
Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody knows that the relationship is going to have difficulty and hardship, and you have to, you know, take some of that. And where's the line that you can draw that says, ooh, boy, there's normal hardship in a relationship, but I think you have sort of crossed over. How do you look for that? Or where do you go to look for that? Or can you listen to friends or family? Or
Actually, that's a good thing, that listening to your friends and family is probably one of the key aspects, because family members and friends tend to see these things in your relationship before you do. And I can't tell you the number of people who come into therapy and they said, yeah, my friends were saying this was a problem or this was a red flag, or my family members were telling me I shouldn't be treated like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the questions you need to ask. Does this person try to isolate you from those friends and family? Because that's one of the key things, because they don't want you getting feedback from other people saying that they have an issue or a problem. So look at that, and then look at the explosiveness of their temper. Again, this is such a red flag, and people will come in and go, I saw it. I saw it when I was dating this person, and I just kept ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to ignore an explosive temper. You want to be right on that in a relationship and say, hey, this is scaring me. This feels out of control. You've hit things. You've thrown things. Whenever I see that, whenever I hear that, from anybody in therapy, I say that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing things, hitting things, screaming at the top of your lungs, degrading you, any kind of physically hurting you. No one deserves to be hurt in a relationship, no matter what has happened. So there's never an excuse for that.
Mm-hmm. What about when friends might be giving you advice because they don't like your partner? And they just go, look, I don't even like this person, so I'm just going to say bad things about it. Can you get objectivity from friends, or is that a mixed bag?
Yeah, I think if they're really good friends, there's something about the person they don't like. Now, maybe they just don't like their personality, but maybe they're seeing some of those signs. Maybe they're seeing that person constantly telling you what to do and trying to control you. And you're not even seeing that. You just think that the person is real assertive and has their own ideas. But maybe your friends are going, hey, this guy is, telling you what to do constantly. Or, this person is constantly accusing you of things. Doesn't that bother you when you see that from that person? So if they're really, really good friends and they're asking those really important questions, why is that person putting you down all the time? Why does he or she seem to be so jealous? The temper is scary. Don't you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he constantly controlling you, telling you what to do, pressuring you to do things you don't want to do? Listen to your friends if they're saying that. Now, if it's just, his personality is quirky, or I don't like him because of the way he, certain hobbies he has or interests he has, that's different. But again, friends and feedback from people who know you and love you, who have your best interest, can really be one of the ways that you can get out of this sort of blindness that you have when you're falling in love or in love with somebody who begins to treat you poorly.
Mm-hmm. If a person is in a relationship where there has been a physical striking, hitting, is there any reversal of that? Is there ever a chance that that person is going to be well after that episode, or is that kind of the history going forward?
No, that's a really great question, because when we're looking from the therapy world, we look at something called character violence, where it's chronic and it's in your character and it's been there for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
That is much more difficult to treat. That's when we're looking at someone who has a pattern of violence in their relationships. And again, with a lot of help and a lot of intensity and a lot of work and a lot of commitment to that work, which people don't usually want to do when they have that pattern, that one's a little tougher. But there are a lot of couples and family members who, under the squeeze of a lot of stress, will have an eruption like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be workable. Now, when you go in, you've got to get help. That's the key thing. There are anger management groups all around. There are churches that will even have groups for temper and anger, and looking at that, going into a Christian counselor, that really helps. If you can get at how you cope with stress and change that pattern of coping and set up in a relationship a zero tolerance for any kind of physical abuse, for that relationship to go forward, I've seen people turn that around time and time again.
Mm-hmm. Linda, we only have about 20 seconds left. Why can't people just be nice to each other?
Yeah, well, it has a lot to do with the things that we've learned and that whole flesh that rises up in us that wants to get what we want to get. So again, a spiritual relationship with God is always the tempering part of anything we do, because when we evidence that fruit of the Spirit, self-control, we're getting help from the Holy Spirit that we can't do on our own. Mm-hmm. So relying on ourselves, not always the answer. In fact, never is the answer. We need to rely on God in us, making us the type of person He wants us to be.
Yeah. Linda, you sound remarkably sane after being cooped up in your house all weekend. I gotta say, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, I'm actually enjoying my time at home.
Good. Well, have a wonderful.
I'm looking at it as a plus.
Good. Have a wonderful week.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Great talking to you.
Yeah. Thanks. 26
all right,
minutes.
Bye-bye.
26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a little break and be right back.